Welcome to Bike Tourist Podcast, show number 7. My name is Gabriel, and welcome if you are new to this show. Tonight we have an interview with Mr. Kyle Bryan, who is going to do a 2,800-mile bike tour from San Diego to Memphis to raise conscience about a condition known as ataxia, which is a part of his life, and we are going to share what the adventure he's going to make. It is on the planning now. So we have him right now to talk about it. Okay. So welcome, Kyle. Say hello to our audience.
Hello. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Okay. It's been a long time. We have been, to our audience, we have been waiting to do this thing for a long time. Right now we're being able to do that, and I'm glad to do that. Okay. So I have some questions here for you to start. Talk about your condition. What is ataxia, especially Friedreich ataxia?
Okay, ataxia, Friedreich's ataxia is a genetic condition that affects all muscle coordination. And for me, it mainly affects my balance and coordination. It affects speech and swallowing as well, and there's other complications such as heart problems and scoliosis and diabetes. And it's progressive disease, and so it gets worse as you get older. And I personally didn't even know about it until I was about 13 or 14 playing baseball, and my dad noticed that my skills were going downhill. I wasn't able to run down a fly ball or my throws were going off target, and so we started looking for answers. And it took us about a year to find anyone who knew what was going on, just because no one knows about ataxia or Friedreich's ataxia. And So even the doctors didn't even know about it, and so we went to numerous neurologists, orthopedists, different specialists, until we finally found someone who knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so now I visit a clinic down at UCLA, Dr. Susan Perlman, and she's been great for us for the past few years.
Yeah, I personally haven't heard of that condition until I was surfing, and I went to the Cranked website, and where they feature one of your articles, and I learned about that. I say, oh, I never heard of this condition though. So as you say, everybody I mentioned this when I mentioned some people that we were planning to do this show, I mentioned a condition, and they say, what's that? So it's really a problem. It's really a problem. And I read that it was more than a year that when they figured out what was going on with you, right?
Right. And it's a common problem. I mean, this story isn't much different than a lot of people have that have ataxia or Friedreich's ataxia. And we're kind of left in the dark, just going, all right, what is going on inside my body that is making it difficult to walk downstairs or even run, jump, and do normal stuff, you know? And so we're just going, what the heck is going on? And we have no idea until you know, it takes a year or so or however long to actually find someone who knows about this disease. And the people who know about the disease have no problem diagnosing it. They know right away when they see the symptoms, you know, that they know what's wrong. So it's really amazing, just as far as getting the word out and just getting people to know what this disease is. It truly affects the people who have the disease, and the public awareness is always important too.
So this is basically what motivated you to do this tour, right?
Right. Actually, my motivation came about probably a year ago. I've been attending the National Ataxia Foundation annual conference for about, well, I've gone to three now, and this will be my fourth one. I went to one in San Diego, and one in Tampa, and one in Boston. And I had, before the conference in Boston, I had bought my tricycle, and I was riding it. I bought the tricycle because it's difficult for me to ride a two-wheeled bike, and it's a little bit dangerous, and it's hard getting on and off, so I went with the tricycle, and I was loving riding it, and I had this thought in my mind that maybe I would do a big tour to the conference the next year. But then I went to that conference, and I met all these people, and one day we were talking with a few people, and one guy says, you know, what can we do to raise awareness? And he says, do we need to streak the Capitol? Because I'll do that right now if I have to, you know? And I just took that thought, you know, that we need to do something huge to promote the awareness of this disease, and just get people to know what's going on. And so I took that and ran with it. I sold the idea to my parents, and they've been on board ever since, helping me along the way and getting things organized for this.
Yeah, 2,800 miles is quite a feat, you know, especially considering everything. The route, what made you decide the route? You just wanted to make it big so the impact is greater? Because right now I'm impact, you know, just to know, you know, for me, it would be a bit hard, you know. So,
yeah. So. Well, I decided this a year ago, and so I knew I had plenty of time to get my body accustomed to riding long distances and to train and all that. So, but the route, I decided on the route because I live in Sacramento, and so originally I was thinking I would ride all the way from Sacramento down the coast through San Diego and over to Memphis. But actually there has been some huge advancements in research lately down at a research university called Scripps in San Diego. And so I decided that my send-off should be from there. And so I'll start in California, and the actual route I got from the Adventure Cycling website, I ordered some of their maps, and that was the route that they suggested. So that's how I decided my route.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So, tell us about your trike. Now that you mentioned that, what trike do you have?
I have a trike. It's made in England. It's called ICE. It's Inspired Cycle Engineering, and it's the Q model, the narrow track. And what the narrow track is it's a lot narrower than other models. So it's a little bit less stable and a little lower to the ground. But it's great because it fits through doorways, whereas other models don't. And so when I ride it to work, it's great because it just goes right in the door, and I can store it in a spot at work. And so it's the Ice Q Narrow Track.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Okay, so what kind of tour will it be? It'll be a supported tour? Will you have a vehicle with you all the time, or are you going solo or with the people that accompany you on every part of the itinerary? You sent me the itinerary here. It's quite ambitious. Let me tell you, it's quite ambitious. Tell me about
so
it.
So I'm planning to ride an average of 60 miles per day, and my dad is gonna ride with me for the first half of the trip to San Antonio, and so he's planning on riding with me for about a month, and then my uncle is actually flying into San Antonio. He lives in Montana, and he's flying into San Antonio. He's gonna ride with me for a couple weeks. And then when I get to Baton Rouge in Louisiana, there's a guy that's from Italy who has the same disease as me.
Uh-huh.
And he rides a hand cycle. And he's going to ride with me from Baton Rouge all the way up to Memphis, about 400 miles.
Yeah, the hand cycle is similar to your trike, but it's driven with the hands, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, how do they steer that?
I guess the front wheel steers, and there's some leaning involved too.
Okay.
I rode a couple months ago with some guys who were paraplegics, and they rode hand cycles, and we rode about 60 miles, and it was a lot of fun. We averaged 14 miles an hour the whole way, and we had a great time. So those hand cyclists are really something, though, because it's all powered with their upper body.
Yeah, that's cool. For all our audience here, I understand that they can ride with you if they want. They need to contact you to tell what exactly you are going to pass, right?
Yeah, for sure. I'd love all the company I can get. And I have a few friends starting out with me in San Diego, but along the way, we'd love for people to come along. And so if you'd like to ride for anybody out there, just check out my website, rideataxia.org, rideataxia.org. And my email address is listed on there. And just send me an email and tell me what your thoughts are, and we can figure something out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm going to go over quickly here over the itinerary for people to know. So it says that section one here is going from La Jolla, California to Phoenix, Arizona. And understand you're starting on January 22 of 2007, and that is supposed to end on January 31, 7 days on the saddle. What place are you going to visit on that section?
What are we going to visit?
Yeah.
I have a list of potential stops here that are spaced about, 60 to 80 miles apart. And so we're hoping that there's going to be accommodations. But, for example, we go through Lakeside, Live Oak Springs, El Centro, Brawley, Quartzsite, Wendon, Surprise, and then Phoenix. So it's a lot of small towns, and then we're gonna spend a little time in bigger ones there in Phoenix and El Paso and Baton Rouge.
Yeah, and for those people who are on the hard side, I think that section two will be a bit harder than section one, right?
Yeah. Let's see. I have it right here too. Yeah, section two. There's a real good climb up to a pass that is about 8,200 feet tall, and for the last section of that climb, we climbed 3,000 feet in 15 miles. Ooh. So that day, I just have tentatively on the schedule that we're only going to be riding 15 miles because that's quite a climb.
Yeah.
So I tried to put some logic into my itinerary, but also I'm trying to make it as flexible as possible and trying to keep in mind that, things are going to go wrong, the bike's going to break down, people are going to get hurt, hopefully not, but we're just going to try and take it one day at a time. I've scheduled it in days, in 7-day blocks.
Okay.
And so I have allowed for about 2.5 rest days.
Okay, that's cool.
7 days. And we can use those rest days any time in those 7 days. I just want to meet each date at the certain city at the end of those 7-day blocks. Those are the only dates that I have set solid.
Yeah, yeah. For the audience, we talk about section two. It's going from Phoenix, Arizona to Las Cruces, New Mexico. Then you go to section number 3, which is in Las Cruces, New Mexico, to Del Rio in Texas. What is interesting in particular of this? Yeah, I know Texas is big. so tell us about it.
Yeah, Texas is actually, I estimate it's about one-third of my trip. And so I'll be spending a lot of time in Texas. And actually, from what I know, and from what I've read on the maps, it looks fairly flat, but people tell me don't let that fool you. Everything is uphill when you get out there, you know.
Yeah.
So, Texas is going to be huge and hopefully flat. And we're leaving in January, so staying south through Texas. Hopefully it won't be as cold as, you know, the northern states. But I mean, I'm counting on it being pretty darn cold and windy and all that. So
yeah, Texas doesn't have much snow, but it can get quite cold. I've been there a couple times around, I think it's February or March. And you know, anyway, I am used to the Caribbean. You know, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here in the sun all the time. So whatever gets a little bit cold, it feels like a North Pole for me. Yeah. Okay. So on section 4, you go from Del Rio, Texas, to Navasota, Texas, and it's an average of 60 miles, right?
Right, yeah, it's about 60 miles, and I have a couple rest days in there. I have a feeling that these sections won't be too eventful. I hope to just start hammering out the miles on these sections. After I get over that pass in section 2, hopefully everything is, you know, hopefully we can just start hammering out the miles and averaging close to 14 or 15 miles a day. If I push it, I can usually average 16 miles an hour, but with stops and eating and rest and all that stuff, I usually end up at around 10 or 11 miles an hour. So, on these flat sections through Texas, I'm hoping to pick up the pace a little bit and hammer out the miles.
Just be careful with your knees.
Yeah,
hammering always take its toll. Yeah. Okay, then you go section 5, who is from Navasota, Texas, to St. Francisville, Louisiana, right?
Right.
Yeah. I see L.A. You say, oh, he went back? No, it's Louisiana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so at the end of this section is where we're going to meet this guy Alessandro from Italy, and he's the hand cyclist, coming over. He's gonna meet us actually in St. Francisville. I said Baton Rouge. St. Francisville is about, I think it's about 30 miles from Baton Rouge. Ooh. And so we're gonna meet him there and assemble his bike there, and so I'll be looking forward to that the whole time. Me and Alex have been talking for quite a while on Instant Messenger, and he emailed me out of the blue. He found my website and he emailed me and he said, hey, I want to come ride with you. How does that sound? And I said, you know what, that sounds great. I need some company, and it's pretty neat that this is kind of reaching out even overseas and stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, this is great. This is great, man. I would love to be there. Yeah, it just things work against me, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
It's not that easy. But I'll be there, you know, in my heart, you know, and I'll be following your adventure here at the podcast. I hope that many people hear this podcast, and I hope that some people of our audience or all of them, I have a lot of listeners in that region, so it would be great if they can join you in this adventure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely agree.
Yeah. Okay. On section number 6, you go from San Francisville, Louisiana, to Memphis, Tennessee. Now you understand that there will be a convention there, right?
Right. In Memphis, it's the National Ataxia Foundation annual conference, and it's a conference where everyone from around the world kind of gets together and talks about ataxia. A lot of the researchers and clinical doctors get together and kind of share their thoughts, and they share their thoughts with the people who are members of the National Ataxia Foundation, like me and my family. And so it's just a whole lot of fun to just meet other similar people and get to know people and share experiences and just have a good time. So that's the goal of this, is just to share experiences with people and to meet a lot of people along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned that one of the goals is to raise awareness of this condition. But there's another goal, right? To raise money for the research, right?
That's right. Yeah. The Friedreich's Ataxia Research Alliance is actually the focus of my fundraising. I'm also raising funds with the National Ataxia Foundation, who's been great as well. But the Friedreich's Ataxia Research Alliance was started a few years ago by parents of ataxia patients, and they just wanted to do something to stop the disease because they were directly affected by it. And so these are really passionate people that feel strongly about what they do, and so I'm trying to make a push to raise some funds and get their hopes and dreams accomplished, because they have the same hopes that I do, you know?
Yeah. So if people would like to contribute with this cause, what can they do? They go to your website, there are new links. How can they contribute with this?
I have a fundraising site that's connected to my website. And if you go to the support page of my website, there is a link to my fundraising page. And you can actually donate there with a credit card, or you can just contact me and send me a check made out to Friedreich's Ataxia Research Alliance, and I can send it on to the appropriate people, and we're kind of keeping a tally going. My goal is to raise $30,000 for research. We're at about $17,000 right now, so I think we're on track to make it, but we just need to push this last little bit and to get over the hump and to $30,000.
Yeah, yeah. All the help I can give, you know, we are here with this podcast. We are totally committed to this adventure, and we would like that at some moment, if you have some updates from the road, I will post them here. So people know what's going on in case they cannot follow your adventure. Talking about that, are you going to do some kind of documentary recording of what will be going on that adventure? Going to a film or something?
I hope to bring along a video camera. I mean, I really, it's obviously not going to be a high budget production, but I have a guy back here that I know that likes to edit video, and so I'm hoping to put together a video of the ride. And also along the way, I'm gonna be updating my blog. My blog is directly connected to my website, so if you go to the website on the homepage, you can link to the blog, and I have already started my blog with some training updates and that nature. But along the way, I hope to update my blog. I mean, hopefully I'll do it every other day if I can, but and so I'm gonna update my blog hopefully at the very least once a week, so people can follow along on that. I've already updated the blog. I've already started the blog with training updates and things of that nature. And so I hope to continue that on the ride so people can know where I'm at and what I'm doing and the struggles and the headwinds and the hills and all that stuff.
Okay. So it would have been great to have you here. Remember that Bike Tourist Podcast is your home. And I was looking forward for several reasons to do this interview besides the adventure you are planning. And one of the things is that you are a recumbent rider.
You're right.
A recumbent rider. We don't get that many kind of recumbent riders here. But this will change. I have another interview slated to be done in the next weeks with another recumbent rider. But I'm glad that you are the first one here.
Well, thank you. Yeah, there's quite a separation, some people think, between recumbents and stand-up bikes, but let's break that gap.
yeah. Okay, so I think I had another question. Okay, I think we have covered. Okay, at what approximate time are you going to start every day? Is going to be early on? At what time it will be?
Well, I leaving from La Jolla, I have scheduled that we're going to start at 9 a.m. just to kind of get everybody together and do that thing. Early on, I only have scheduled about 30 miles a day for the first few days. But other than that, we're just going to take it as it comes and hopefully get started real early, because during this time of year, you don't get a lot of sunlight of daytime. So we're probably going to start early and hopefully end early, too, as long as we get all our miles in.
Okay. Okay, so thank you, Kyle, for being here. Just keep us posted with any development on your adventure. We'll be glad to post whatever updates you have for us. One thing, what things are you going to bring with you during this adventure?
We have a full-time sag wagon, so my mother is actually going to drive. We're going to have a truck pulling a trailer, and so we're going to have all the support we need as far as carrying food and supplies and you know, if we end at 60 miles per day in a spot where we can't really stay, we can always drive and then come back and start over again. So I'm right now I'm working on acquiring some cold weather cycling clothes, gloves, hats, everything. So, because I'm sure it's going to be really cold out there, and we're still kind of trying to plan on the food thing. Not real set on that. I heard that it's really really good to do a liquid diet when you're riding all these miles. That helps a lot, so we're looking into that. But other than that, we're not real concerned about. We're not real nervous about what to take, because we have plenty of support, and we're gonna be able to run out and get whatever we need. I mean, we're trying to cross all the T's and dot the I's as much as we can, but we can only do so much, and so we're gonna count on that vehicle to bring us through in the end.
Yeah, and if any company of apparel and stuff that may be needed in the road are listening to this show, it's a way to contribute. You can help out. You can contact Kyle at the contact are in the website and offer offer some help. It doesn't have to be money. It can be apparel. It can be equipment. For making this possible, it's a great adventure. It's not without its dangers, and we are all conscious of that. If anybody can help out this adventure, you can or can show up and show support and show support to the foundation. is opening arms, right?
That's correct. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I get random emails all the time, and it's just so encouraging that people are finding my website and are in support of my ride. And so I just love that kind of stuff, and you know, the apparel and all that would be great. But just to know that people are supporting me, that just drives me even farther.
Okay, I think it's time to go. It's time to go now. There's not to keep it too long.
Okay, one last thing. I just want to plug my website one more time. It's rideataxia.org, rideataxia.org. And so go there and you can find out all the information you need in my... My email address is on there, so you can contact me, and please do.
Yeah, and we are going to include the website in the podcast website.
Okay.
And biketourist.podomatic.com, biketourist.podomatic.com. We're in the show notes. We are going to include the information about how you can help this adventure, and in the links area there will be a permanent link to the website. So if you miss it on the show or we do it to audio nuances, you cannot get it. Just go to the page and it will be there. It will be there. So it's our way to support this adventure, and being the bike tourist podcast, what it is, I feel this is an obligation for us to do that. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so we say quits now, but it's just see you later, because we are going to be watching this development, and we encourage all the listeners of the podcast to support this adventure, and to keep an ear peeled to everything that happens. So my name is Gabriel. This is Bike Tourist Podcast. And Kyle, say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye. Thanks a lot.
Okay. So see you later. Until the next chapter of the Biking Tourist Podcast.